listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show today, Your Ultimate Life here on LA Talk Radio. Today, I don't have a guest. I do often, but today not. I want to talk about something maybe a little different and maybe a little difficult. I'm really focused always on how. I love the how, right? Because there's lots of people that talk about ideas, about happiness, about joy, about creating. I use the words purpose, prosperity, and joy, and I call it the ultimate life. How do you live that ultimate life? Now, I don't know. Maybe life is so busy and so frantic for you, you don't even have time to think about ultimate anything. It's like, oh man, how do I get through the day, the week, the month? Holy cow. And you know what? That's happening for a lot of people in a lot of places. If you look around the world, different countries, how many conflicts, how many difficulties, how many places of hunger and thirst and fatigue and struggle and weird weather and crazy earthquakes. We just had that gigantic earthquake in Southeast Asia. Thousands. The last number I saw was 1,700 people lost their lives, but I think that's several days old, so it's probably more than that. And, you know, people going about their day, and all of a sudden, there's this thing, an earthquake or a volcano or something, and it disrupts their lives, and sometimes to the point of losing life and losing loved ones. And so one of the principles that I live by personally, it's a personal tenet of my life, and I live it every day, not something I think about once in a while, is a fact that we create our lives. And what I mean by that is I get to choose, no matter how urgent or how extreme this circumstance, how I react, how I speak, how I think, and how I show up. And a silly example is, you know, I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. It was nice and warm before that. And most of the snow was melted. And all of a sudden, we had 2 days of real, like, snow, 6, 7, 8, 9 inches of snow and cold for a couple of days. Now, I could have been really frustrated about that. Or I can say, hey, cool, last snow before spring. And that's a silly example. I know that. I have a real serious one. How about if you go to the bank? I did this once several years ago. I had not kept my stuff organized with the IRS. I lived in the U.S. at the time. I'm Canadian here. But suddenly I went to the bank one day and I was going to make a withdrawal. And the teller came out to me and said, I needed $500 in cash. So I was making a cash withdrawal, and there was plenty of money in the bank. At least I thought there was. And the bank manager came out holding a letter and said, you don't have anything in your accounts. They're all empty. And he handed me the letter, and it was a letter from the IRS saying that they'd taken all my money and all my accounts. Zero. Well, that was a sudden reversal. Suddenly I hadn't expected. And it turns out that they'd sent me some letters and I hadn't seen them or ignored them or whatever. Doesn't matter why. But the circumstance was like that. Okay, so I want you to think about a certain circumstance in your life where things have suddenly gone south. Now, we had the fires in LA couple of months ago, where, and I don't know exactly how many weeks ago, but where all this area burned. And all these people lost their homes. I have a friend, a dear friend, maybe you do too, that was affected, lost everything, burned everything to the ground. We had huge hurricanes. And those are earth natural disasters, you know, nature and things like that. And there seems to be more and more of that these days, extreme events. And some people blame it on global warming. And I'm not going to get into a political debate. What I'm here, I want to talk about those kinds of things in the context of this ultimate life business. Because sometimes it seems like Pollyanna, where somebody like me or somebody else says, well, you can have whatever life you want. All you have to do is think positive, or, you know, some crap like that. And that's not really true, that all you have to do is think positive. But it is true that we create life, our own life experience. So an example for me, and this is, you know, I've spent years working on mindset, personal development, and that sort of thing. And there was a time not too many years ago, about 6 years ago, where I woke up one morning paralyzed from the waist down. Now, the why doesn't matter, but I did. And I didn't know it, and I hadn't been expecting it. And I tried to get out of bed that morning, and I fell on my face next to the bed, splat, like literally, because nothing worked below the waist. I didn't know that yet. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I tried to get up on my hands and knees and splat again on my face because nothing was working. And as I lay there on my face on the carpet next to the bed, I was trying to think, you know, what's going on? And I realized I was in a lot of pain and I had to go to the bathroom. Like you wake up, right? So I was crawling on my arms, like army crawl kind of thing, like they do under barbed wire or in a tough mudder race, that kind of thing, to the bathroom. And, you know, hoisted myself up, went to the bathroom and then back down on my face to move around because there was no way to move any other way because nothing was working. And that was a sudden experience. And the reason doesn't matter, but I hollered to Joy. She wasn't that far away, but she was still asleep. I woke her up and I said, I can't move. Nothing's working. And so she called the ambulance and, you know, they came out and were testing me to see, you know, and when I take you to the hospital, if nothing's really wrong. And it became apparent very quickly that something was very wrong. And so I'm in the back of the ambulance, and I had never ridden in the back of an ambulance to the hospital before. That was like the first time, and that was in 2018. So that was only 7 years ago. And I'm going to turn 70 this year, so I was 62 or 63 at the time. And I was thinking, I thought a lot, and I was in a lot of pain. I could feel significant pain, but nothing was working, so both. And it's the most interesting thing happened. I consciously decided and said to myself and then said out loud alone in the back of the ambulance, okay, this has happened. What is the gift here? And it was kind of a weird experience. What is the gift here? I'll tell you what it did. It shifted the way I was looking at the whole experience because it put the pain to the background. And my mind went on this journey of what could possibly be the gift here. And the first thing you can think is, right, the gift in being paralyzed from the waist down. What a stupid thing to think. I just decided to go with it. And it was consistent with what I was working on, about being grateful for everything intentionally, focused on gratitude, and finding the growth or the gift in every experience. Now, that's a choice. You or I, we can flow through life and be mad at things that don't go our way and be excited about things that do. And I had been choosing and still choose to find the gift in every single thing. And this was like the ultimate test, right? Because I'm paralyzed from the waist down in the back of my, in an ambulance in pain going to the hospital. What is the gift here? So I went down that road and thought about it. And I just named several things that were a gift, slowing down, focusing on the things I did have, grateful that I was with Joy, a courageous, beautiful angel of a wife who is, you know, following me to the hospital in a car, and et cetera, et cetera. So there were lots of things that I could count as a gift. The exercise and all the things I listed aren't important. What is important is what I learned by doing that. By the time I got to the hospital, I was in good spirits. I was, you know, joking with the people saying and the pain had subsided a little, but I was still paralyzed. And so it went on from there. And they, of course, admitted me to the emergency room immediately. And you come in, and you're sitting in the ER. Sometimes you wait a long time, half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And yet you're sitting there and then these people come in on stretchers, right? And often they get moved in right ahead. And even if you've been sitting there 2 hours, you know, here come these other people. And it can feel frustrating. And then I was like, I'm one of them. I came in and given my condition and what was going on, I got admitted and moved right away. So here was the interesting thing. They took me in. They moved me right away to X-ray and did an MRI and some things like that. And after the results of the X-ray and the MRI and stuff, they called a spinal surgeon who was on call at another hospital, and it so happened, and I don't believe in coincidences, happened that he was one of the top spinal surgeons in Canada. But anyway, he took one look at the x-ray results and the MRI and stuff, and he said, okay, take him to the OR, the operating room. So I never was checked into the hospital. I went from the emergency room to the operating, from the ER to the OR to get taken care of. All right, now that's the end of the story. There's an operation and some other stuff, and it was successful. And I was in the hospital for a few days, and everything was fine, and I walked out, right? The point of the story, and the reason I'm stopping it there, is because I want you to just think about the circumstance. And you see this background behind me. It says, creating courage, patience, and peace. Creating courage, patience, and peace. And I used every one of those words on purpose. Isn't it fun what you can do with AI? So I was talking to one of the AIs, and I, you know, told it what I was going to do here. I was going to talk about this thing, and I asked it to create me a background. And it did. And I told it to put the words around the side because my face is in the middle. And right behind me, it says in big letters, same thing, creating courage, patience, and peace. Anyway, cool stuff we can do with AI. And there's lots more than that. But I had it create me this background for today. Every word is important. Creating is the first word. Creating means it's a choice, not an accident. So if you are in a storm of life, whether you're paralyzed or your bank account's broken or you just found out, you know, your spouse is leaving you or somebody's ill or, you know, something that's, quote, terrible is happening to you, you and I, we have a choice. And what I want to talk about today is how to do that. Because it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, create courage, peace, and patience, and blah-bitty-blah, and you're in the midst of a turmoil, and you go, you're full of crap, Kellen. How do I do that? Well, let's talk about how to do that. That's what I want to talk about today, the how, about if you want to. Now, obviously, you, me, we're free to live in anger, frustration, negativity, the opposite, rage, revenge, it's not fair, and all that stuff. You're free to do that. I haven't found that to be very rewarding. In fact, I found that to be sort of a death spiral. The more angry and frustrated I get and blaming others, the worse it gets. Because most of the time we're powerless to change it. And so we end up just raging against the machine or society or the economy or the government or God or somebody. And I've never found that to actually solve anything. So when I have chosen this other path, it's been easier. It's made whatever's going on easier to deal with. Easier to get through. And it's created some interesting bright spots. So the whole stay in the hospital for a few days turned into a series of miracles. And by miracles, I mean things that weren't supposed to happen or for which there is no explanation, right? I know that those things happened because I chose to create courage, patience, and peace. So let's talk about how to do that. So the first thing is acknowledge the rage, acknowledge the storm, acknowledge the, by rage, I don't mean anger. I mean the raging of the storm of life. So you've been kicked to the curb. Your bank account is kicked to the curb, or your heart, or your house, or in my case, my back. You're kicked to the curb and you're struggling. Acknowledge it. I am struggling. This thing has happened. Don't pretend it hasn't. Don't overlook it. Don't push it away. This has happened. And then, because reality is what it is, you can't change that. What we can control is what we do with the truth. So in the back of the ambulance, I said, wow, I'm paralyzed from the waist down. Holy crap. I am. Unexpected. And then, comma, what is the gift here? So when you acknowledge that, you say, you know, this is the breakdown, this is the betrayal, this is the struggle, this is the storm. Don't fight the storm's existence. Just let it be. And then work with it. Let's see what this storm is creating. The obvious is it can create helplessness or rage or anger. But what else is it creating? Maybe it's creating resilience. Maybe it's creating a way for me to have some growth. That's certainly what this circumstance did for me. It also created an opportunity for me to write another book called Walking Without Fear, because the reason I was paralyzed and the solution and all that spawned a book, Walking Without Fear, that has added to my coaching. It's added to my business. It's added to my ability to serve others going through similar kinds of struggles. So it was forging a new piece of me. Now, sometimes that forging feels hard. The refiner's fire. And where I've come in my life is I look forward to that. In fact, I choose every day to go into refining fire and I look for ways to grow. So your pain or struggle is not proof of failure. One of the things that I used to do when stuff didn't go the way I wanted, I didn't do this with the paralysis, but I did it with lots of other things, is I viewed it as my failure. I suck. If I didn't suck, this wouldn't be happening. And I viewed it as some kind of bad thing. I'm bad. I'm being punished. I'm no good. You know, I sort of went down one or more of those roads. And whatever your words are, you know, there's like 10 roads, some weakness, some failure, some not good enough, some karma from somewhere. And you heap it on yourself. You are somehow at fault, to blame, and bad. That's not true. Your pain is not proof of failure. It is an opportunity to become something new. Now, another truth that sometimes gets lost is, I used to, and maybe you do, why is this happening to me? Everything happens to me. Nobody happens to me. Nobody gets the trouble that I do. I have more struggle than anybody else. That's not true. It's just flat not true. There may be seasons in your life where just one thing after another seems to happen. I've had those. Maybe you have too. Maybe you're in one right now. When you're in one, certainly seems like it's all happening to you, but it's not. You're not alone. The universe isn't picking on you. Okay, we all experience those things. And I don't know about you, but me coming to terms with the idea or the truth that this just stuff happens and I'm going to get through this. This too shall pass. Now, that's a phrase, this too shall pass, and it does. An hour later, sometimes the drama is over. Go back to the bank account time. You know, at the moment, it was a horrific shock. I'm standing there wondering what I'm going to do. Flat, broke, zero. Look in my wallet, you know, 10 bucks or something. That's it. I'm done. You can imagine the phone call. I did have a cell phone and it still worked, right? Calling my wife and I'm saying, sit down, right? And I have to tell her what's going on. And the bank that we banked at was walking distance to the house and I'd walk there. It wasn't right by, but it was a few blocks. And so it was like a 15, 20 minute walk. And I called her from the bank and all the way home, I'm thinking, what in the world are we going to do? What am I going to do? And I had no expectation that they wouldn't take more because everything they'd taken didn't even begin to satisfy what they said I owed. And so it's like, I can't even use the bank. So it wasn't even a one-time thing. It was like a poison dart waiting to poison me again and again and again. So anyway, I'm using my examples because I don't know yours. But pain is part of the curriculum of growth. That's something I know. And I know from my own life, and I can tell you that's a universal truth. Now, how we view the pain, you've heard the saying, pain is required, suffering is optional. And I'm not going to tell you the only way to hear that, but how I hear it is pain, meaning events that suck, are part of life. Hence, they're required. Suffering, which is the ongoing choice to continue to experience pain, is optional. So the bank account's empty. Shock. Holy cow, pain. I'm done suffering. My mind turns to opportunities, options, what to do next. You know, what can I do next? And what I did and the plans don't make any difference. but we figured out a way to do things to, you know, manage our money differently and continue to make some money and have it handled differently so we could have some and talk to the IRS, you know, and get a payment program established, et cetera, et cetera. So there were steps to do, but at the moment there was pain. I chose not to suffer. I chose to take action, mitigation, and figure out what to do. You can too. I did that with the example of the, you know, paralysis. I asked what the gift was. I found one. I went to the hospital. They were able to do stuff in the next week or two. I was in the hospital for a few days, like 9 days, and then I got out and was blessed, and there were some miracles. But the action, there was no suffering. There was pain. I invite you to think about that. What is something going on in your life where you're experiencing, where you experienced recently, yesterday, today, last week, some terrible pain, unexpected thing that didn't go like you wanted, you know, death, betrayal, illness, something not trivial, something pretty significant. And my question to you is just to think about how much are you choosing to continue to suffer, as opposed to realizing that this is a refinement opportunity. My experience is choosing to view everything as refinement alleviates the pain, and it puts my mind in a creative mode. It puts my heart in a creative mode. I was conducting a mastermind this morning about money and about making money, and I've been in circumstances where I felt like I need to make some money this week. And so I gave an example in the mastermind of a way that I did that. I explained it because one of the topics of that mastermind, and I was presenting, so it was mine to run, was about how to make money, but right now, not in 6 months or some gradual development thing, but how do I make money by Saturday? And so I gave an example of doing that. And the reason that I did is to spur thinking in all the people that were there. There were some 30-something people, about ways they might be able to do something similar if the concern for them were making money. And I got some emails afterwards about how useful that was. But that's the same thing. So I have no money. That's the pain. Wow, I feel a need or a worry or a panic about the future or rent or food or whatever. And then instead of swimming in that pain, I'm choosing to get creative and to make some money and doing it from a place of creativity instead of suffering. So that's the first word, creating. You still have the ability to create even in the midst of some event, some disaster that's happened. Courage isn't an emotion. It's a muscle. If you have up to this time reacted with fear or feeling like the victim or feeling picked on, it's okay. You have to start where you are. I'm inviting you to consider choosing courage. Courage is simply the choice to act in the face of uncertainty. It is a choice to act in the face of maybe some fear. I'm afraid this will not work. I'm afraid somebody will laugh, or I'll be ridiculed, or I'll fail, or I might get hurt financially or physically, but we choose to act anyway. So courage in the face of uncertainty or some degree of danger, a choice to act, that is courage. It's not the absence of fear. That has nothing to do with courage. It's a choice to do something anyway, to move ahead anyway. I have this uncertainty and hence some fear. I'm going to do it anyway. So I said I was going to talk about how. Here's a how. Pick something small right now that is bothering you, that you're scared of. Maybe it's a presentation you have to make. Maybe it's some sales calls that you're putting off. Maybe it's a difficult conversation with a business partner or a client or your life partner. Taking small steps, literally taking small steps, is a way to exercise the muscle of courage. Okay, you don't need to. Sometimes you have to jump off the cliff and build your parachute on the way down. But the number of times in life where you really have to do that are not very many. And it's the same process. You do it and build your parachute. But it's easier to exercise the muscle when you do it a little at a time. When you say, I'm going to take these small acts. And so choosing intentionally this morning or tomorrow morning, what is it that I can do today to demonstrate 2% more courage about something that I've been either procrastinating or afraid of? What is that? You know immediately what it is. Well, I could do this. I've been putting it off or I'm afraid of it. So do a small thing and then do 2% the next day. Do you know how fast that accumulates? In a couple of weeks, you're 30% more brave, right? In a month, 60%, 2 months, you're 100%, like you're done. You've developed the muscle of courage. So that's a way to do that. I want to move to the next one, which is patience. So we talked about creation. We talked about courage. I want you to think about patience for a minute. Sometimes we think about patience as being, chicken, being afraid, and or we think of patience as weakness, right? We sometimes equate patience with fear, and that's not really patience. Holding back because I'm scared isn't patience. Patience, as a quote I have, patience isn't waiting. It's holding power in stillness. It is intentionally choosing to wait and holding a power in the stillness. Now, as a coach, I have the blessing, the opportunity to often have powerful conversations with people. And by powerful, what I mean is inviting them to look at themselves, what they're thinking, or what they're feeling, or what they're doing or not doing, in a space of safety and honesty. So it's not, how come you're not in a space of judgment? But it's like asking questions. Why is that how you're handling this? And then a client gets to explore what's going on with them. And it may seem obvious, it's like playing chess. You're looking over somebody's shoulder and you can see the move they ought to make. Patience is power. Now, we are conditioned. We are conditioned by our society, our life. It's so fast, 24-hour news cycle and this and that. Everything's right now, right now, right now. To believe that every problem needs to be solved in the length of a TV sitcom, 22 minutes. 30 minutes counting commercials, like right now, download, double click. That's not how the world works. It's not how growth works. It's not how personal development works. It's not how relationships develop. Things that develop that fast disappear just as fast. Patience. Think about Michelangelo sculpting David and the story about, he had the block of marble and he sat there and looked at it day after day after day. He went in the morning and he sat and looked at the marble and pretty soon one of his people, his apprentices or the people he had working for him said, aren't you supposed to be working? And he said, I am. And then finally, after X number of days, he went to work and, carved it. And someone asked him some questions about it. And he said, all I'm doing is removing all the marble that shouldn't be there. And so his patience and vision was rewarded with the iconic statue of David, which is, one of the wonders of the world. So I want you to redefine or at least consider redefining patience, not as weakness, not as being timid, not as timidity, but patience is power. Patience is power. It is creating. It is the power of creating. Like acting all the time isn't always the answer. Patience is sometimes the wisest course. It allows you to think. It allows you to create mentally. Okay. I want to go now to peace. Courage, patience, and peace. What is peace? Well, peace can mean a lot of things, I grew up in the 60s in the San Francisco Bay Area, and, lots of everything had peace signs, right? The circle with the little peace sign in it on vans and on billboards and everywhere. Peace, make love, not war. And in that sense, peace is the absence of conflict. Well, that is one very small definition of peace. I want you to ask yourself, if you sit quietly, is your heart at peace? I don't know. Is your heart at peace? When I talk to people about meditation, often one of the first things I'll hear is, oh, crap, I can't do that. I can't sit still that long. And even if I sit still, my mind is racing. I just can't turn it off. Well, I believe you. I absolutely believe that's true. But the only reason is because you haven't practiced it. Someone might sit still and they can't sit still. They got to fidget and move their legs and dance and move a pen and twidget, with a fidget spinner or something, right? That's just a habit. And learning to create peace inside is a really valuable skill. And let me tell you why. We start from the outside in, but real peace comes from the inside out. To learn it, often we have to just first sit still, 5 minutes, set a timer, don't move. If you haven't practiced it, that can be really difficult to do. When you learn, then you begin to master the physical part. Then you can do things like think about your breathing, and you experience what it's like to breathe, and you feel the air in your lungs. Or maybe if you slow down, you can feel your heart beating and you weren't aware of it before. And as you practice turning on or turning up the knob of peace, starting with physical peace, what you'll discover is you then develop the ability to calm your mind, to just slow it down. And when you might say, well, why would I do that? Well, what I notice over and over again with myself and others is the more I'm able to turn it down, my physical movement, my internal movement, my thinking, and focus into peace and quiet, the more creative I get, the better ideas I have, the more relaxed I am, and the happier I am, the more peace I feel, my mood goes up. Think about that. So if you want it, you're having a difficult time, you're having a disaster, a life, or a situation of turmoil, you can create peace at any moment. Now, you might disagree with me, and that's only because of lack of practice. You can create peace at any moment. Just before this call, an hour or so ago, or an hour and a half ago, I was with a group of people on not a Zoom call, but kind of a Zoom call. It was a different platform. And several of the people, a couple of them I knew, but there were about eight people, and there were six or so that I didn't know at all, never met. And because of how everyone chose to come and the skill of the facilitator, we were able in a very short time, 5 or 10 minutes, to create peace and trust and creativity and express vulnerability and openness and attraction and affection to each other in a supportive and powerful way. And that was a wonderful experience. What I noticed in me is any worries went down. Everything was... Now, what I'm going to tell you, you may or may not believe, you can have that even when crap hits the fan. Like, you don't have to respond from a place of anxiety, being uptight, frustrated, negativity. You all know the fight, flight, or freeze thing when your amygdala takes over and all kinds of cortisol and adrenaline gets pumped into your system. There's some physiological effects. Your digestion shuts down. All the energy and blood goes to your large muscle groups so you can fight or run or whatever. But it also turns off your reasoning. It makes you stupid. Okay, it subtracts our ability to get creative. And so when you intentionally learn to slow down and calm that, your creativity goes through the roof. Your ability to reason and create solutions and outcomes goes through the roof also. So learning this skill is really valuable. So me sitting here telling you, gee, when crap hits the fan, you can create courage, patience, and peace. You can say, well, that's very interesting. And so, but it won't do you any good if you don't do it until the crap hits the fan. So I'm urging you or inviting you to consider learning to create peace. One way is called learning to meditate. And I've written some books on meditation. There's a million free YouTube videos and courses. If you want mine, my book's called Meditation, The Amazing Journey Within. It's written by me, under my name's on Amazon. Meditation, The Amazing Journey Within. And it explores different ways to learn that kind of peace and control in your own mind to relax, increase your creativity, your sense of control, and get rid of this idea that you're a victim, an uncontrollable victim of all the stuff going on around you, because that's not true. There's another thing I want to talk about in terms of creating courage, patience, and peace. I've talked about this before, and it plays into this right now. When things happen around you, whether they're physical things or spiritual things or emotional things or financial things, we tend to default to the sense that we have no control. We go to the victim corner. Why is this happening to me? And we feel either angry or defensive, you know, that kind of thing. I have a daily creation process. Some people call it a morning ritual. I don't like to use that word because it's so cliche. And it is an intentional process that I go through every morning, whether things are calm and relaxed or whether there's a lot of stuff going on. And the reason I do that is I find that creating myself gives me power. It gives me this courage, patience, and peace all day, every day. Now, if you have trouble in your life anytime, wouldn't you rather meet that trouble with courage, patience, and peace than in a frantic mode, in the victim mindset, lashing out and blaming? Like, wouldn't you rather be able to come at something with complete courage, patience, and peace, with your creativity through the roof and your ability to have equanimity and focus and your third eye working and your intuition all on? Like, who wouldn't want to do that? Well, of course you do. Well, if you haven't practiced it, you can't do it on demand without some practice. So if I'm going to go play something on the piano and I've never seen it before and I haven't practiced it and it's too difficult, I'm not going to do a very good job. On the other hand, if I've practiced and I keep my fingers in shape, it dramatically increases my ability to sight read and perform. So I'm inviting you to consider creating yourself a morning routine, a morning ritual. Now, if you want some help with that, there's 1,000 YouTube videos that say, you know, ultimate morning ritual, how to do that. I've got some videos up there. I wrote a book about that called Living with Purpose and Power. Another thing that your ability to create courage, patience, and peace does is it gives you personal power. You exude presence and power when you have courage, patience, and peace. So if you want to have control of every situation, I don't mean we control the weather or the behavior of others, but how you show up in any situation, you can have that, and that's a promise. But it doesn't come accidentally, and it doesn't come without effort. So Living with Purpose and Power is a book that I wrote, and that's right here by me, but I can't see it right now. It's on Amazon, Living with Purpose and Power. I share with you everything that I've learned in the last 15 years about how to do that. And the way I create my life every day is invincible. Nothing bothers me. It doesn't matter what happens around me. I just don't mind. I always ask, what's the gift here? And I'm able to create with that. And I'm not magic. I didn't used to be that way. This is a learned behavior. So the world right now is in turmoil. I live in Canada, and we're facing an election here, and there's some turmoil up in Canada because of what's going on in the U.S. There's a lot of turmoil in the U.S., noises and accusations and people mad at each other and all kinds of crazy stuff, violence and on and on and on. And that could feel like turmoil. It doesn't affect me at all, even emotionally, even though it's sad and I feel sad and sorry for those that are both experiencing the violence and those that are perpetrating the violence. I can make you a promise. You have the ability to do that because you're just as smart, you're just as capable, and you have everything available to you that I have. So I'm inviting you to inhale peace and exhale panic. Whether it's breathing, like you're breathing in and intentionally or consciously inhaling peace and exhaling panic. I do that when I meditate. Sometimes I think about inhaling power and exhaling disturbance or frustration or negativity. And I sort of picture black clouds flowing out and sort of sparkly light going in. You can do that. And if you want to create an invincible daily creation process, here's what I can promise you will happen. You will feel in charge of every situation, no matter what has happened. You will be resourceful and you will be capable at solving whatever problems or unexpected occurrences life throws at you. You'll be able to have on demand grace, patience, presence, and power. Wouldn't you like to have that? I used to envy people like that, and I've learned how to do it. Now, another element that goes into all this peace is the element of forgiveness. Because that's the forgiveness, grudges and negativity and shame. That's the gift that just keeps on giving. Up to now, I've been talking about something that has happened to you or around you suddenly that creates pain. And we've been talking about how not to have ongoing suffering. Forgiveness addresses another issue. You did something or didn't do something that caused somebody else pain 2 years ago, 5 years ago, a decade ago, and you're still suffering a little bit or a lot from it, guilt, shame, or someone did something to you, attacked you, abused you, cheated you, ripped you off last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, more. And you're still carrying anger, resentment, negativity, shame, guilt, frustration, revenge, vengeance, you know, a host of negative emotions. Every one of those robs you of your power. Every one of those robs you of your ability to fulfill your purpose. Our purpose, all of us here on earth, is to love and serve each other. Every piece of anger, resentment, revenge, guilt, or shame that we carry around with us gets in the way of us filling our divine capability and purpose. Now, you can think I'm crazy about talking like that, but I've lived through enough stuff, both of my own drama, serious, you know. And if you've heard other episodes, you've heard all about that. And if you want to read the details, it's in a book called Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. But I've lived through enough of that to tell you that if you choose to forgive, eliminate the power of past events, whether someone did something to you or you did or didn't do something. Now, I'm not talking about ignoring it. There are steps you take. And I'm also not talking about putting yourself in danger or trusting someone who's untrustworthy. There's a difference between forgiving and trust. You don't need to put yourself in a danger situation. So every time I talk about forgiveness, people, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about no longer allowing power from past events to have power in the present. Whether someone did something to you or you did something to somebody else or any variation of that. Your choice to eliminate that power allows you to create courage, patience, and peace, which means you walk through your day at the peak of your power. Now, you know what it's like to have a fabulous day, a great day where everything's going right. You can do nothing wrong. Every time you touch something, it's magic. You say the right thing. You show up in the right places. And it's like, yeah, I can't lose, right? What if you could have that every day? What if you could have that even when crap hits the fan? To be the epitome of light, to be the epitome of creativity, to be the epitome of calm, guidance, attractive, a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power. You might think I'm nuts, but it's possible. Wouldn't you want to have that? I sure did. And I've spent the last 17 and a half years now working so that I can, and I do. And that's why I've written all the books that I have. That's why I'm doing this show, is to invite you, even in times of struggle, even in times when people are against you and it seems like the universe is conspiring against you, to have grace, courage, patience, peace. I'm not talking about a facade. I'm not talking about a stiff upper lip and just pretending. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm not talking about faking it. I'm talking about truly emptying your soul of all of that negative energy and emotion so that you can face every day, every moment of every day with grace, patience, peace, and power. Because when you stand with courage, with patience, and with peace, you have power. People around you can feel it. You feel it. Your ability to create is unlimited. And that's not surprising, because who are you? You're a divine being. You came from the divine. The pedigree of your spirit is a single line. You, God. So you're that close to deity. So since you're a divine being, of course you have the right and the ability to have courage, patience, peace, power. What I see so much of is we don't use it. We don't develop it. We don't pay attention to it. And it's like you starve your body and then wonder how come you can't run or how come you can't do push-ups. Your spiritual power takes development. And that's why I said creating courage, patience, and peace. Don't wait till you need your rainy day fund and then wonder how come you have no money. It's the same thing with your spiritual reserve, your energetic power, your ability to cope with difficulty. The last thing I want to talk about here is surrounding yourself with light, with love, with good stuff. I consume uplifting content, books, videos, sacred literature, all the time. Why? Because I want to be in a place of creation and power. I want to surround myself with light, with good. I want to be part of that. I want to be adding good to the world every day, all the time, just because I can, not because somebody's keeping score, because I feel so good. Now, the last thing with this I want to offer you is you are where you are right now. If all this stuff I've talked about sounds like, oh, that'd be really cool, but I don't know how to do it, start now. I have a YouTube channel called Ultimate Life Formula. Ultimate Life Formula. Go there. The videos are free. Or go to yourultimatelife.ca. Get on my list. I send an email every day called Purpose, Prosperity, and Joy in 60 seconds. It's not to sell anything. It's just to give you tools and encouragement for purpose, prosperity, and joy. You have the right to live in joy. You have the opportunity to have peace and prosperity and live with a sense of purpose and meaning every single hour of every single day if you want it. But you have to claim it. And in some cases, like me, you have to clean up some old stuff. I had a lot, but I did, and I can promise you it's worth every effort. So whether you're starting right now, from a pretty good place, or you're starting from the bottom of the canyon, the day to start is today. The time to start is now. My whole mission is to reach 300 million people with the message of your divinity, your capability, your possibility, and to do every single thing I can to help you create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. YouTube channel, Ultimate Life Formula, the books that I have, everything is for that purpose and that purpose alone. I love you. I'm grateful for you. I acknowledge you as a capable and divine fellow traveler on this earth. Claim your power. Claim your opportunity. Together, join me. Help me reach my 300 million. Let's see how much joy we can create. Let's see how much good we can do. Because I can tell you, making a conscious and intentional choice to add good to the world, to do good, to discover and declare your own purpose and create prosperity and joy, there's nothing like it. It feels better than anything else you can do, have, or be. And that is within your grasp, and I've dedicated my life and work to help you here now to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.